Good evening to you, and welcome to the show, History and You, with George Rodriguez Walling.
Good evening, and welcome to History and You, the show where you decide what history becomes. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I'm very happy to be here with you this evening. If you want to call in and contribute your thoughts, please do so at toll-free 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Call me and tell me your views, please. If not, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You can also find me on the web on www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. That's bbsradio.com/historyandyou. Please visit my website and leave me a blog in the Fast Chat or Message Me sections of the webpage. Tell me what's on your mind. I would also ask you to help me sustain the show by keeping it going on a weekly basis through your generous donations. There is a donate button on the webpage for you to easily contribute. So please be generous. Your contribution to the show is a very special help to me. Thank you, and I do look forward to reading your blog. Tonight's show is brought to you by the folks at FX Software and Sweet Pea Women's Apparel by Stacy Frati. Tonight's topic, the gauntlet. Surviving adversity in life is hard. Add personal trauma into the mix, and living suddenly becomes something overwhelming to do. Human suffering in this world can sometimes become too much to bear. And this is particularly apparent the older we get. But you know, my mother, God bless her, left me with something very special to turn to whenever problems grew well beyond my control. She gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit. What, you might ask? What in the world does that mean? Well, it means that you have faithfully embraced, with eyes tightly shut, the trust of knowing that the Holy Spirit will watch over you and take care of a problem for you. When innocent people suffer at the hands of others, the justice to restore your humanity awaits that person in darker places that only he or she can suffer. And if forgiveness is standing at the threshold of a trauma, divine will be the moment when tears of celebration sing the joyous triumph of the human spirit, superseding the evil eye that now stands to wither. Abuse in all of its forms retains a long memory of pain caused by the mental illness of another. And the more difficult aspect to understand here is that mental illness sometimes has no premeditated elements to it. So when abuse is inflicted, it is done without any rationality to discern harm. Our society today is replete with the abused and the mentally ill, all living together, working together, all coexisting in a society of human and civil rights whose lines of fairness have been blurred by the greed of instant gratification for personal power to manipulate someone else. What does it suggest to you when sexual abuse occurs on another person frequently, with no one there to save you from the moment, and with the thought that it will happen again and again, because of weak or inconsistent institutional constraints to restrain the offender from such acts? What is a person to do? What do you turn to? Such experiences will leave a person feeling vulnerable, horribly violated, and scarred for life. Surviving the trauma is the gauntlet. Here tonight to talk about the issue of such abuses is a gentleman who has championed the adversity of abuse by turning and looking inward, looking to God, and taking as his personal mission the devotion of reaching out to others and spreading the word of understanding and forgiveness through seminars to whoever is willing to listen out there. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that I present to you this evening, Mr. Puerto Herrera. Welcome to the show, Puerto.
Thank you so much, George, for having me.
Puerto, there is a history to everything in life, and we are all part of that history on a daily basis. So please tell us, America has a history of abuses that stands long and extended. Where, in your opinion, do you feel they begin?
You said it's a long history of what it has, but unfortunately, that is not going to stop until we educate people, we train people, we inform people, and that is our job. And if we don't do it, I don't think we will be able to ever stop that, but at the same time, we can do so much.
You have a new book out, obviously, which I read much of it, The Invincible Flying Eagle, it's called. Tell us about it.
Yes. The Invincible Flying Eagle, it's based on my true story, all what I went through when I was a little boy.
How old were you, by the way?
Oh, I was, that man started to come to our home, I was about 6.5 years old.
Okay.
And when the abuse started, not the sexual abuse, but the molestation, I was about 7.
Okay. And what else can you tell us about your book?
The book, it's one of a kind. Along the years, I read several books. I guess I was looking for what I wanted to read. I wanted to find a comfort in other survivors of sexual abuse. But I read more than 7 books, and none of those books had what I was looking for. Because since I was abused, I know what sexual abuse is about.
What were you looking for? When you say that those books didn't have what you were looking for, what was it that you were looking for?
The story that will tell exactly how that happens without going around the bush, like we say, without cutting things, giving examples, and just telling it the way it happened, just telling it the way it is. And that is what I decided to do.
What motivated you to write the book, aside from what you've already said? Is there anything else that motivated you to share this rather incredible and bizarre story with people out there?
Yes. One, because I am a believer, and I do believe that I have a mission. And in that includes writing a book, telling people, telling everybody what happened to me. And the past is the past. And we cannot use the excuse to be bad based in the past what we had, because I had a terrible past. But that I cannot use that as an excuse to be mean, to be rude, to be bad, to be an evil person. I learned it from the past to be a good person as I can be in this life. And that is what I want to tell people.
You know, Puerto, it sounds very noble. And obviously it sounds very unselfish. But you know, or common sense would tell me that you would have to know that your message is going to reach some people, and others, it's not going to reach them. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference for them. How do you feel about that inevitable fact that will happen, that you're just not going to reach people that are going through that trauma as we speak, perhaps even?
Yes, I am aware of that, and I know, and I have it in the book, that I'm aware that I cannot save the whole planet, but I can do so much, which I am doing it. I am reaching to a lot of people that I never imagined it, that I was going to be able to reach out, and I am doing it.
And, what kinds of people, if I may ask?
Okay, I just came back from El Salvador and Guatemala, which I do it like every 2-3 months, go down there on my humanitarian missionary trip. And the meetings, what we have, or small conferences to call it, I get together with families of victims, with victims, and with abusers, directly with abusers. And some groups are 20 people, some groups are 40 or 60 people.
Puerto, when you meet with these people that you know for a fact are going through that experience now, in the present, what do you see in their faces? Probably a face of fear, insecurity, or inferiority complexes, or God knows what else may be going through that person's mind. You were there. You were there. You were at that state of mind at one point. And when you go down and you look at these people, what do you see in their eyes? What do you see in their faces? What do you say to these people?
Yes, I have that thing in me. I don't know how to call it, but something special that I guess I have, that I can feel it. I can feel when those people are victims. I can feel their pain, and I can understand them, and I can look into their eyes, and I can kind of put myself in them. And since I went through that, I start to suffer and feel their pain right away. And I start to pray to the Lord and to Jesus right away. And when these people come to me, I'm going to give you an example. One gentleman in one of the meetings in the border of El Salvador and Guatemala, he's about 17 years old now. Somebody told him that I was going to be there, and he was like, well, what he's going to tell me, who knows who Puerto is. But at the end, he went to the meeting. At the end of the meeting, he wanted to talk to me, and he told me that he was about 17 years old. I didn't really wanted to ask his, you know, how old he was, but he told me that. He told me that he was abused by two men. This poor gentleman, I can see in his face, in his eyes, all the pain, the rancor, the suffering, the hate.
I would imagine included in all that is a sense of shame, right?
Correct. Yes, yes. And a shame and a guilty, because that is what happened still in Central America. And that is what happened with those evil men or people doing that to the children, because they make us believe that we are guilty and that we are sinners and we are the worst. So this gentleman, he was ready to take his life. And when he was telling me all that, believe me, my heart was crying inside, and I was trying to be strong for him. But at the end, I was trying so hard to get into his heart and in his mind to tell him that, you know what, you are special. You are special. I understand, and I feel your pain, and I am here for you. You are not alone anymore. And when I say that, this gentleman started to cry. And because they can feel that, George, I tell them that is my mission and I am here for them. They can feel that. They know that it comes from my heart.
Pertel, I have to ask you this because I would imagine that a flood of emotions run through a person whenever he's confronted with that kind of a situation. Aside from the shame, the guilt, the confusion, the psychological mindset, anger. I'm sure anger at some point had to flow through your mind. How bad did your anger get? And how did your level of anger compared to those other people that you are presently helping? How does their level of anger compare to yours? Is it more or less the same? Do you feel that yours was worse or theirs is worse? Or would it depend on the experience? How do you manage and control the issue of anger? Because at some point, I'm sure that you just want to do something horrible to these people who ripped you, who tore your sense of dignity, your self-esteem, and left it shattered in pieces. So how do you deal with that level of anger?
Yes, it is very difficult. It's a good question. Me, I can tell you that I do get upset. I do get really mad. In that moment, I feel like I want to choke those people, especially when I have them in front of me in the meeting. But at the same time, I'm ready for, and I pray to the Lord, and I get all the calmness, what I need in my mind and in my heart. The anger, the level of anger, what you are asking me, I will say I get angry, but only for just a few seconds or a minute, and then it kind of, from 50%, it just goes down to just 5%. Now, with these people, with the victims, that I try so hard to tell them that, you know what, yes, you are a victim, or you were a victim, but now you are a survivor. You are a survivor, and that is the great thing to face right now. The level of anger in them, oh my God, it's terrible. It's really high.
Yeah, but I can imagine. It's almost unmanageable.
Correct, yes, but it doesn't compare to the anger what I had when I was a little boy, when I was abused by 11 people, by 9 men and 2 women. I've been counseling people, helping people, and until today, I haven't found somebody who has that level of anger what I had at one point in my life when I was about 10, 11 years old.
Is it possible for this level of anger to turn you into more of a criminal life?
Yes. Yes. Because when we have that level of anger, against not just the person who hurt us, who does the bad things to us, but we kind of start to hate everybody around. So that, yes, you have two choices when you are a survivor. A lot of people stays in that level of victims, and that is what I work so hard with people that I counsel, to tell them that you were a victim, you are not a victim, you are a survivor. They can look life differently that way. But when they don't have anybody who can help them to see the life differently as a survivors, and when they have that, I am a victim, the anger goes in high level inside their heart and in their mind. And we have two choices, whether we can be a good person, a good person to help other people to leave the past in, to leave the abuse and everything in the past and live in the present by releasing the past. Or we can turn into maniacs and do the same thing to children, to innocent children, and be bad people, drug addicts, alcoholics, and all that stuff.
So basically, would I be correct in assuming that what helped turn your life to a more positive direction would be God and religion?
Absolutely. I can tell you about that in my own experience. And when I talk about that, I tell people I don't want to impose my religion, you know, my beliefs. But me, without God, without Jesus as my friend, I just won't be here. I just won't have not make it. I am a strong believer. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. And from the very moment when I was going through everything, no matter what, I always prayed to the Lord, and I always prayed and sing to Jesus Christ and to St. Michael, the archangel, and to the Holy Spirit. And that really helped me tremendously to stay as a good person as I am right now. And that is what I tell people. If you are going to believe in something, well, believe in Jesus, believe in God. What a wonderful, what a marvelous thing to do, to believe in God, you know. Like I always tell people, I have a friend. And I say that in the book, and I think if you read that already, you know that. I used to sing a lot to Jesus. And I tell people, you know what? I have a friend. And my friend is Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing to feel. And when you have Jesus in your heart, I mean, there is no way that you are going to turn into a drug addict or harm somebody else, especially do something to an innocent children.
Right. Right. No, I understand you perfectly. As a matter of fact, you may remember at the start of my show, my mother left me with a wonderful gift of believing in the Holy Spirit. And I've seen with my own eyes, I have seen how the Holy Spirit can break and make the evil eye wither. I've seen it myself. So I listen, you're preaching to the choir here, because I'm right with you, step
thank
by
you,
step.
Thank you.
Berto, I also wanted to ask you a couple of more quick questions before we break for a commercial, which will be very soon, apparently, when the conversation is getting better and better with each passing minute. Time flies by that much faster. How traumatizing did all of this get for you?
It did before, but now I can really tell you that I am not. And it's just a pleasure for me to be helping people, to talk about, to help others, and be an example of the horrible past, what I had, and so people can see the person who I am right now. Yeah. I was with a trauma. Yes, I was, and I wanted to kill myself when I was about 20 years old. But I knew that Jesus was with me, and he sent somebody, a person, an angel, which I call angels, people here on this planet, who did help me to avoid that.
Yeah. Berto, how did this affect your private life in its worst moment, or your public life? How did it affect the... your life as a human being? How would you wake up and go to sleep every day once you were, for example, 12, 13, 14 years old?
Oh, boy. It did affect my life, the whole thing. My life did change completely. Right from when I was going through the molestation, it did affect me, but I was kind of able to cope with. But when the sexual molestation started, then we are talking about different picture right there. My life changed completely. I was not the same little boy. I was angry. I was feeling worthless. I was feeling used, abused. I was feeling violated. I was feeling like I was a sinner and I was going to go to hell and so forth. And I started to have so much hate and rancor in my heart and in my mind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Perto, how old are you now?
49.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
No, and I will not. I'm done with it. I was married twice. I got divorced twice. But my divorce, it has nothing to do with my past. Unfortunately, I went through divorce. It's like a lot of people do that. So
Right. Yeah, people get married. It doesn't work out for whatever reason. And so divorce becomes imminent. Perto, I have one more question before we go to commercial. But it's a very personal question. And I want to tell you before I ask you that you certainly do not have to answer this question on the air. So my question is, because of the experience or because of the divorces, but more than anything else, your experiences, are you gay?
I will prefer not to answer that question because I will have that in book number 3.
Okay. All right. Perto, let's talk a little bit more about the origin of this problem. But first, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to discuss the gauntlet on History and You in just a moment. Just to break it down. We build it up just to break it down.
In a world dominated by frameworks, platforms, and tools, it's difficult to know how to win when the only certainty is change. At Software FX, customer service and highly useful products are our main goals. Over 20 years of experience, coupled with ideas and inspiration from more than 150,000 developers all over the world, have turned into business intelligence tools that provide more choice, convenience, and value to our customers and partners. Yes, technologies do change, but Software FX has your back. That's Software FX, data visualization for every need, every platform. Call us today, toll free, at 1-800-392-4278. That's 1-800-392-4278. Be the master of your data. Software FX. Sweet Pea by Stacy Frotte is a woman's contemporary clothing line and nationally recognized brand. Sweet Pea is an innovative collection that pairs flirtiness with sensibility. Our Sweet Pea woman can be running a board meeting, watching a soccer game, or dining out with friends. Sweet Pea is recognized to be eye-catching and edgy. We empower our loyal worldwide customer base by creating clothing that fits their lifestyle. She is on the move and believes that Sweet Pea is her go-to on almost all occasions. Day into night, Sweet Pea's stylish blouses move with you and your busy day. Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's, Anthropologie, and the Sweet Pea by Stacy Frotte website feature new Sweet Pea designs weekly. We have been creating beautiful clothing for 16 years, and there is no sign of us slowing down. Fashion is cyclical, it is true, but style is a constant. Please visit www.sweetpeabystacyfrotte.com today.
Okay, and we are back to discuss the topic for this evening's show, The Gauntlet on History and You. Perto, let's talk for a moment about being born again. You claimed that you were. How were you born again from these experiences?
Since the moment I went through psychologist. I was with a psychologist for 3 years, with psychiatrist for 2 years, and taking antidepressant medications for 7 years. The whole thing, it was a new life for me when I finished it, the whole thing. It was like I was reborn because, and that I'm talking about when I was about 20 years old when I started with the whole thing. And now I am 49, and I've been a different person since that very moment.
Did all of those drugs that you had to take, did it affect you in any way?
It did affect me for good because I was depressed before. I didn't see the life what I see right now. Right now I know life is beautiful, and we deserve to live a beautiful life peacefully and happy. And happiness hasn't existed for me, so I decided to be happy. I decided to do that since I was a little boy, but since these evil people came to my life, they took that away. And then when I went through therapy and everything, it's like I got that back, but with the help of Jesus, with the help of doctors, and I was able to reborn again.
How long were you in the hands of medical doctors?
3 years with a psychologist, 2 years with a psychiatrist, 5 years altogether, and 7 years taking antidepressant medication. So altogether, and after that, about a year of just checking in with a psychiatrist like every 3 months, I will say altogether it was about 8 or 9 years.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Now that you have well survived this whole situation already for many years, many decades, what is more difficult for you to do? Living or forgiving?
I will tell you right honestly, living, it's more difficult for me. Forgiving, no, because I know how to forgive. The superpower of forgiveness, that is what I call the superpower of forgiveness. In order to be happy, to live life in the present, we must forgive. And I learned to do that when I was even going through the abuse. There were moments when, can you imagine, I was going through to an inferno, being abused with so many people. I told my mother. She didn't believe me. I told my grandpa because I wanted somebody to protect me. Well, he became an abuser also. And I had nobody. At one point in my life, I was so angry, and I was getting sick inside my heart and in my mind. I wanted to kill everybody, and I was even mad with my mother, with everybody. And I saw adults being hypocrite, being mean, being so rude, yet they were happy, like if nothing has happened. I was like, no way. These people are mean. These people are laughing. These people are two faces. I don't want to be that, but yet I want to be happy. How I do that? Nobody taught me, but I started to forgive those people, not because I am okay with what they did. That is completely different. I did it for my own sake. I started to forgive as a human being. And if I was upset for 1 month, when I started to forgive them from my heart and from my mind, but I did make sure that there was nothing left, no bad feelings inside my heart and my mind, then I started to get mad only for a week, for 2 weeks, and then for a week, and then for 3 weeks, and then suddenly it was great because I, as a human being, I can get upset today. But you know what? Overnight, it's over. Tomorrow, it's another beautiful day.
It's like a feeling that you've been set free. It's like you've been liberated. A weight has been lifted from you.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea of living then, just carrying on day in, day out, is proving to be much more of a harder task, just like everybody else. They have to wake up in the morning. They have to go to work. They have to endure all of the problems of the day. And that makes you very much part of the norm of the pool of humanity. But I do have an issue. By the way, is your mother or father still living?
My mother is still living, and she lives in Los Angeles.
Do you have a relationship with your mother now, despite everything that has happened?
I used to until I had until my book came out last year. Like a year before, my mother told me she did not want me to get the book out. And for her, I am still a liar. So my mother, she never understood. She never believed me. And she will not, because that's my mother. I used to have a really good relationship with her. But we are not talking anymore because she's the one who wanted to.
Right. And so what really continues to move you forward is the what compels you is to get the truth out in this situation. And I think you sense that your mother, out of shame or embarrassment or whatever may be there, she just doesn't want the world to know what she, by her own guilt, gave consent or allowed to be done to her own son.
Yes. Yes. That is correct.
There's another issue, Pertu, that I want to touch with you regarding forgiveness.
Sure.
I think that you and I share the idea that forgiveness is, in all scenarios, absolutely necessary. But just as a point of a very brief philosophic discussion, what good is forgiveness if you cannot forget? If I don't forget something that was done to me, how can I pretend to forgive while still entertaining that memory of hurt and pain and abuse in my mind, in my heart? How can the two coincide together and work simultaneously and then claim I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten? When you forgive, isn't it consistent to know that you have forgotten, but we cannot forget? So then how can we forgive? How do you respond to something like that?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Because some people, like for instance, in religion, I am Catholic, and people, the priest always wanted me to forgive and forget. You have to erase it. Well, how am I going to erase something from my past? To me, that was, I just couldn't understand it. And I just started to forgive, but I don't forget. Why? Because that is my past. It doesn't mean I hate people. It doesn't mean it hurts me. I can talk to anybody about everything what I went through. And you know what? Sometimes I even laughed, even with my sister. Now we laughed when I talk about everything what I went through. Because in the 2010, I went back to El Salvador after 30 years. And after so many years, I encountered two of the main abusers. And let me tell you, I was able to look into their eyes, their face. I was able to talk to them, confront them, tell them how bad they were, what they did to me was not right, and if they were doing it to children, to stop immediately, because now they know that I know what they did. And at the end, I gave them a hug. That is true forgiveness. And Pertzel, a lot of people, they just can't believe that, you know?
Pertzel, I have to ask you at this point, how did they respond? When you would scold them, when you would tell them all of that, how would they respond? What would you see in their eyes?
Yes, one, they were ashamed because, you know what, I was able to look into their eyes, but they were not. They were looking down. They were looking someplace else. To one of them, I told him, I say, look my face. Look into me. I say, don't look that way. I say, because I'm talking to you. I say, and I am not just throwing these things on your face. I say, I am not here to fight. I say, no. I say, I just want you to know what you did, it was wrong. So they were nervous, and one said, well, how can you forgive me, and how can you forget that? You have to forget that. I say, I forgave you long time ago. So that's why I am a happy person. That's why I'm here.
Let me begin to try and put all this in perspective. What you are saying is that it is possible to forgive while still hold the memory, because the manner in which you are holding that memory is in a way that is not rancorous, in a way that is simply a memory within a context of, I have to remember because it happened in my life, but I am not using it in an angry state of mind. My state of mind is happy because what's more important for me is forgiveness instead of using the memory in a rancorous way. Am I correct in the way I'm sort of like putting all these all these pieces together?
Yes, you are right. Yes, you are correct.
Okay, but let me ask you very quick. Who was B1? Because you mentioned, you talk a lot about B1 in your
X1.
Book.
X1.
Oh, X1. Okay.
Yes. X1 was the main abuser, and he's the one who was the first one who started to abuse me, and due to that, the other ones started to abuse me too. So X1 was the main abuser, so that's why I do talk in my story, in my book 1 and book 2, a lot about him.
Yeah. Did you ever, Pertzel, did you ever, when you were going through the thick of your abusive years, when you were feeling the most confused or the most angry, did you ever come to enjoy any of your sexual activities?
What do you mean, when I was going through the abuse?
Yes.
No, not at all. I always fight. I always told them, stop, I don't like it, I don't want it, and just leave me alone. But nobody pay attention to me because I was just a little boy.
Okay. You said that you have in mind to write another book. Is this true?
Yes, I am writing the second book.
Okay, well, let's talk about that in just a moment. We'll look into that very quickly. But first, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back to discuss The Gauntlet on History and You in just a moment. Just to break it down.
In a world dominated by frameworks, platforms, and tools, it's difficult to know how to win when the only certainty is change. At Software FX, customer service and highly useful products are our main goals. Over 20 years of experience, coupled with ideas and inspiration from more than 150,000 developers all over the world, have turned into business intelligence tools that provide more choice, convenience, and value to our customers and partners. Yes, technologies do change, but Software FX has your back. That's Software FX, data visualization for every need, every platform. Call us today, toll free, at 1-800-392-4278. That's 1-800-392-4278. Be the master of your data. Software FX. Sweet Pea by Stacey Frotte is a woman's contemporary clothing line and nationally recognized brand. Sweet Pea is an innovative collection that pairs flirtiness with sensibility. Our Sweet Pea woman can be running a board meeting, watching a soccer game, or dining out with friends. Sweet Pea is recognized to be eye-catching and edgy. We empower our loyal worldwide customer base by creating clothing that fits their lifestyle. She is on the move and believes that Sweet Pea is her go-to on almost all occasions. Day into night, Sweet Pea's stylish blouses move with you and your busy day. Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's, Anthropologie, and the Sweet Pea by Stacey Frotte website feature new Sweet Pea designs weekly. We have been creating beautiful clothing for 16 years, and there is no sign of us slowing down. Fashion is cyclical, it is true, but style is a constant. Please visit www.sweetpeabystaceyfrotte.com today.
Okay, and we are back discussing the topic for this evening's show, The Gauntlet, on History and You. Perto, there is another book on the way. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, yes. Book number two, it will be about when I had the encounter with four angels, the eagles. I was ready to take my life. I tried to commit suicide many times, and that was one of the times when I was ready to do it with a stone, a big stone that I was going to smash my head on to another stone. And at the time when I was going down with my hands to do that, a bird, an eagle came over and got the stone and threw it away from my hands. That will be on book number two. Also, in book number two will be when we left the village due to the civil war. We became refugees in San Salvador in a church. And from there, the guerrillas, the commanders came over and they took us, they forced all the children, little boys and little girls, to go to be trained to the camps, to the mountains, train it to fight against the government on the civil war. All that will be in book two. And and in book two will be about my grandpa. On book one, I have all the exes are the abusers. And I have X1 through X7. And on book two will be X8, which was my grandpa, and X9, and then X10 and X11, which was the woman's.
Wow. Okay. There are a lot of books out there as far as abuse is concerned. What makes your book so different from the many others? What makes yours so different?
Sure. Different in so many ways. Different because it talks about, like, the title of the book is The Invincible Flying Eagle. It's because I was saved by an eagle when the abuser, the main abuser, was going to kill me, when he was raping me so many times. A bird, an eagle, came over and started to attack him, to defend me. And then when the abuser took me under a mango tree and put the knife on my throat to kill me, right at that second, I was saved by an eagle. And I was guided by that eagle to a cave, and it gave me a new chance in my life at that moment.
Wow.
That is that is, it's something different. Then there is no book about something like that.
Parto, what can we learn from your book?
From my book, it will be to learn to be brave no matter what you are going through. Faith, you never, never, never give up. You have to keep faith, and you have to pray. No matter what, you have to pray. And you have to believe in yourself, in your own existence, and of course, believe in Jesus and in God.
Oh. And I think that we have a caller. Do we have a caller? Okay. Well, I guess not. Okay. Let's let me ask you one final question, Parto, if I may.
Sure.
With everything, the advice that you have given so many other people in defining how we can all learn from your experience and the reason why your book is so unique in terms of so many others out there writing and talking and sharing about abuse, could this happen to you again?
I didn't understand the question. What do you mean if that could happen?
With all of the advice that you've given the public, which I consider to be very valuable, could this situation, could this abuse that you suffered, that you endured, that you survived, could it happen again to you?
To me, I don't think so. Because if I am understanding the question, it happened to me because I was an innocent, ignorant little boy, vulnerable to adult. But now, since I am an adult, I have the power to say no, to say yes, and to do what I want in my life. I am not vulnerable anymore to that kind of abuse. Unless unless somebody put a gun on my head and I'm forced to do something against my will. But if I have a gun, or if somebody puts a knife, you know, on me, otherwise I have the power to say no.
Right. Do you think that there are people out there that have suffered abuse that are not as strong as what you are?
Yes.
And they fall again to the same or similar situations. Does that happen? Is that possible?
Yes, it has happened. I have encountered people like that I am helping, that I have helped so many people along the way. And that's why I always tell them. One example would be one of the gentlemen in Guatemala last year, and I am still working with him. He was so confused with forgetting and forgiving and erasing everything from his mind, because that is what the pastor told him, and the pastor told him that at the end, the pastor condemned him, told him that, well, you know what, you can't erase it from your mind. You can forgive and forget that because you are not doing it the right way. It was so difficult for that poor man to do it. And I was able to help him. Right now, he is able to laugh with me on the phone and to go through everything. But at one point, this is the scary part. At one point, this man was so confused that he just didn't know if he was going to go with being gay or being heterosexual.
Right.
He was married. At the same time, he wanted to be faithful, but yet he fall into be playing with men and playing with women. You know, it was very, very difficult for me to handle that situation when I talked to him, but I was able to help him.
Yeah, well, good for you. And at this point, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Parto, thank you so very much for sharing your time, your thoughts, your advice. and your expertise on the problem of mental and sexual abuse with all of us this evening. It truly was a learning moment for everyone listening. Also, for our audience, please don't forget to pick up his first book entitled The Invincible Flying Eagle. A very, very interesting read. Perto, where can we pick this up? Amazon?
Yes, in Amazon, Amazon.com. It's in English and in Spanish, and also it's on Barnes & Noble. And people can follow me on Twitter at Perto Herrera, also on Facebook at Perto Herrera, P-H-O.
Great. Terrific. Very good. Well, thank you very, very much, Perto. And now we've come to that final part of our show where I wish to leave you with a final thought to consider and to further reflect regarding the signs of our time. Some final thoughts. To survive abuse is to make you stronger in faith and resolve. And when abuse happens, how hard is it to forgive? It is as hard as you want to make it, or as easy, because the capacity to forgive will determine the strength of your faith to live confidently with yourself and be happy with yourself and with others in the world. The proverb I wish to leave you with for this evening's show is a Persian proverb for further consideration and personal reflection, and it goes like this. Whatever is in the heart will come up to the tongue. Join me again next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for another hour of insight by visiting my website at www.bbsradio.com/historyandyou. In your blog, leave me something to think about. As always, I want to thank the folks at BBS Radio, my promoter and producer, Deborah, Doug, and Don, for making this show possible and for all of the things you guys do to bring the show to our audience. Also, please remember to generously donate a contribution to our show. Your financial participation is always a very valuable help to me. Thank you in advance. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling wishing for all of you a very pleasant evening. Good night.